ask you to pray for me this afternoon. For the word of the Lord, and let's pray for ourselves. Lord, help us to be a people that are prepared unto every good work. I'd like to begin with a passage in the book of James. I have a message that the Lord has given to me, I feel like, for the purpose of stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance, something that many of us have heard and believe that we know and understand in our minds, but I believe that the Lord sometimes desires to come back and stir us up and remind us. Remember hearing Brother Sammons use the illustration, and I don't intend to draw a parallel with this congregation by it, but I remember him using the illustration just of people in general, that it's sometimes it's like when you're going down the road in the fall time and the leaves are laying on the road and you drive through it and the leaves that were on the ground are stirred up and they're whisked up into the air for a little bit and then they tend to kind of settle back down. Well, I believe the Lord realizes that can be our tendency sometimes as people, and the Lord wants to stir us up from time to time. I'd like to look in James, the 5th chapter. Beginning with the 7th verse. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'd like to speak to us about being patient unto the coming of the Lord. Patience is something that is not very natural to us, is it? Something that many times is difficult for us to come by, difficult for from the time you're a young child to be able to get a hold of the importance of patience and be able to understand the need of it. We sang the song this afternoon, and one that I enjoy much. What will it be to be there? We sang a song here a few weeks ago too about the family of God. It says sometimes we dream together of what it will be when we're all, I don't remember this how it went, when we're all together in heaven, one family. What is it going to be? What will it be like? Sometimes as I pray and seek the Lord and I think of those that have gone on before, I think, Lord, they've already made it now. They've already earned their reward. They've already gotten their prize. They've already heard the words that I'm living to be able to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a relief that'll be. What a day it'll be to be able to hear, well done. You've passed the test. You've made it in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Not by any merit of my own, but to be able to know by the grace of God He's kept me through this dark world. And now, forever with the Lord. No more worries, no more cares, no more temptations or trials or pain or affliction. To be able to know forever, eternally with my Lord. I'm safe. Safe at last. Out of the reach of the enemy, out of the reach of his temptation and suggestions and weakness and frailty and things that we would battle with. I'm safe. What will it be? I think it's good sometimes for us to think about those kind of things. Wonder. Imagine what will it be the first day in paradise. The first day whenever I see my Jesus face to face. It's something that is to be our goal. The thing in life that we seek after, we read in the book of Hebrews of those that were of days gone past. Our fathers in the faith, who made very clear, they declared plainly that they sought another country, that is a heavenly country. They were looking for something else. They had their eyes that were set on something else. While this world is clamoring for their pleasures and their enjoyments and satisfaction and fulfilling every lust of the flesh that they know to fulfill, going after this hobby and that hobby and this sport and that sport and this entertainment as much as I can get in. All the while saying, no, I'm not going to participate. No, I don't want that. No, I'm not going to indulge in that. No, I can't go there. I have a hope. I have a hope that shines brightly. I'm not living for this world. I'm not living for what it has to offer. Oh, if in this life only we have hope. We're of all men most miserable. Folks, if we're going through this life, then we're denying ourselves and we're saying no to the flesh and saying no to self. And there's nothing beyond this. We're of all men most miserable. If it's nothing beyond just a form of religion, just a form of do's and don'ts and things that I exercise myself in, a straitjacket that I put myself in, if the joy of the Lord isn't there, because we have a foretaste of it right here. Yes, we go and we get the fulfillment of it whenever we see the Lord face to face. We get it in full then, but now we have through the Spirit the earnest of our inheritance. We have a foretaste of it right here and right now. That is enough to tell me, yes, I'm going on for something better. I've tasted of it. I've gotten a glimpse of something that makes me willing to say no. I don't want what this world has to offer. I'm looking for that day. But James brings out here that it's going to require patience on our part. Those of us that are walking the pilgrim journey, this walk of life, it's going to require an exercise of patience on our behalf. As we go through and we're looking for that day that is to come and we're surpassed on every hand or encompassed about rather on every hand by the wickedness of men, by the scoffing and the scorning of men that are around us. And I say, Lord, I just want deliverance. Lord, I know the day is coming that You'll set all things right. The day of judgment and justice is coming, Lord, when You'll make everything clear and apparent. But Lord, I'm grasping by faith until that day. Oh Lord, You know it should be within every one of us a longing for home. There should be within every one of us not a dread of that time that is here, but a longing to go home, an earnest expectation that I'm going to make it. By the grace of God, I want to see my Lord. Because of the love that He shed abroad in my heart, there's something that draws me. He draws us with cords as a man, with love. He draws me to Himself. Lord, I want more of You. In this life, yes. Lord, I sure want to see You one day. Lord, I sure want to stand face to face with You one day. You ever heard of survivalists, or as they're called sometimes, preppers? Those that believe that some calamity is going to befall this nation or this world, and it's nothing really new. Those of you that are older than I no doubt remember the fallout shelters from the Cold War time and the fears of a nuclear holocaust, a nuclear war, and those kind of weapons being used, and the aftermath of a disaster like that. Movies, I suppose, have been made of it. Imagining what will doomsday be like. What will that day be like whenever, and you fill in the gap, of all the disasters and the conspiracies, and then a government comes and takes over, or in some elements, someone from outer space, or some species that come and invade, and all the things that have filled men's mind. What is doomsday going to be like? A volcano, a meteor shower, a climate change that is going to bring a doomsday about. What is it going to be that day whenever maybe I'm the only one left? I've got to prepare for that day. I've got to prepare for that time and make preparation for it. If you've ever driven to Green Bank, West Virginia, you take the southern route and you go through the little town called White Sulphur Springs. You see there on the left as you drive past a beautiful resort. Greenbrier Resort, I believe it's called. Beautiful, palatial, white, building looks almost like the White House. You know, at the time that place was built, there was more intended for that than just a resort. Because under that, far back into the mountain, under the guise of building a resort, as the resort was being built, there was also a bunker that was being built. And it was a large bunker. The purpose of it was, and it was commissioned by the United States government, that this is to be the place that will keep all 535, I believe it is, members of Congress. And if there should be a nuclear war and a bomb goes off and we see that, this is the emergency plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to rush everybody and evacuate everyone out of Washington and take them to this place in White Sulphur Springs. And it had, I don't remember the size, a 60-ton door or something that would shut. Of course, it was top secret at the time. And it would shut, and they had all the provisions within that for it to be a small city. All the food and the medical supplies and cares and places to eat and sleep and all of that for 535 members of Congress and all their staff. You know, I believe that preparation is a good thing. I believe that it's wise, and I believe Proverbs even bears out, to make preparation. If you know the winter time is coming, go to the ant, thou sluggard. The ant knows and makes preparation for the time that is to come. And we're told even of a spiritual sense that we are to lay up in store a good foundation for the day that is to come. There is a preparation that's to be made. Sometimes I hear on the radio, I believe it's a public service announcement of sorts. It's a series of questions. It says, in the event that this happens, there's a flood, where do you go? All of a sudden there's a fire in your house, what do you do? All of a sudden the power goes out, do you have a flashlight with batteries in it? And all these things that are to cause you to stop and think, am I prepared? Am I really prepared? Because we go through life every day, the same old thing for the most part. I've never had a house that's caught on fire. So you know what? It's hard for me to imagine what would it be like to wake up in the middle of the night and there's smoke billowing through the house. It's hard for me to imagine. So wisdom would say, make preparation for it. Prepare for it. Maybe you talk to your children. In the event that this happens, here's where you go. Here's how you get out of the house. Make preparation for the day that you hope will never come, but that might come. So I believe it's wisdom in having batteries in your flashlights. Maybe a blizzard's coming your way, have a little extra food stocked up in the house. But you know my hope is in the Lord. My hope isn't in how many tons of food I can have stockpiled in the side of a mountain. My hope isn't in how if the worst possible thing were to befall mankind, I'm going to prepare for that and be able, if I'm the only one left in this world, oh, what a dark, bleak picture it would be. If I'm the only one left and I crawl out of my shelter and there's nothing but desolation and ruin, at least I'm still alive. At least I've still survived that scenario. So many people, they live in fear. They live in, I would say, taking it to an extreme. Taking it beyond just preparation to the point that this is what I'm living for. Some of these places I've seen, just to finish a little of what I was telling about the bunker in Greenbrier, they had made all the preparations just in case that day came. Just in case this event happens, we'll be prepared to be able to preserve democracy by the members of our Congress. I'm afraid if they tried to preserve what we have now, there's no telling what we'd have after the war. But their intent was to be able to preserve democracy, preserve the leaders of our government. Well, after the height of the Cold War in the early 90s, someone found out about it, broke the news, they decommissioned it, and now you can tour it. But I've seen and I've known of other people that have made preparations, maybe on a smaller scale, trying to stockpile a case of chemical warfare. I've got this kind of filtration unit, and we're going to go here and evacuate, and I can monitor all the situations. They lived their lives and heard of one man that had spent $60,000+ building a house underground. Then he had thousands of dollars of cash and gold and weapons and ammunition to be able to survive. And I see an element that's missing. Where's the Lord for your defense? Where's the Lord in your equation of trust? Are you trusting in your own ability to stockpile and make preparation? Or are you trusting in the Lord? Lord, if it's my time to go on home, let me go. Lord, I'm willing to meet you. I'm ready to go. I don't live in dread of death. The sting of death has been taken away now. But my trust is in one. That I know that should the worst come, is it really the worst? If I'm ready to meet the Lord, I have a bright hope that shines brightly. I don't have to live in dread. I don't have to live in fear. What if I accidentally go out of the house and I forgot my concealed carry gun? Now what am I going to do? I think I'll take the Lord with me. You know, of all that preparation, survival, just in case the worst happens, you know there is a preparation that we're to make. There is a preparation for a day that's not uncertain. A day that's not in question, and maybe just in case we'll prepare for it. But there is a day that every one of us are encouraged. Make preparation for this day. You're waiting for this day. You're preparing for this day. And it's not a just in case. You know this day will come. So prepare for it. Be ready for when that day comes upon the earth. Oh, there are so many doctrines in our world today. So many teachings of what it is and what it'll be. And one company that was founded in the last 10 years or so was founded on the belief of the rapture. Many in the church world believe in that today, that there will be a rapture. There are many different variants of what that doctrine is that's taught. But this company was founded to say, if you want to invest, you can buy a plan from us. If you're a Christian and you're ready for the rapture, you buy this plan for us. And by the way, we're ready for the rapture too. So this system is automated. All right, it's a computer system that you can write an email to your loved ones that are lost, begging and pleading with them, give your heart to the Lord. And once the rapture occurs and you're taken up to heaven, that email, whenever the owners of this company don't log in for 5 days, the system will know they've been caught up in the rapture. And so it'll send out these emails to everybody that you made a list. Folks, it's too late then. You know, the enemy has tried to confuse so much of what's here. The enemy has taken the book of Revelation that is to be a revelation to us. And he's used that to obscure and blind so many eyes and minds, so many doctrines and beliefs. You know, it's really very simple. In the day of the Lord, in the twinkling of an eye, every knee is going to bow at that moment in time. Whenever the Lord comes back, whenever the skies open and the Lord returns again. Remember, it was foretold of whenever Jesus first ascended back to the Father. The angels asked those that were standing there, why do you stand here gazing? The same cloud, how does it say, the same cloud or the sky into which he ascended, it'll be that by which he will again descend. So we have a promise now. We're a new group of believers. Jesus has now ascended, and we have a promise. He's coming back for us. We've seen every promise be fulfilled. The promise that he would be crucified. The promise that he would be raised again. They had yet to see the prophecy fulfilled of Jerusalem. But we've seen the promises and the prophecies fulfilled. So here's another one that says, he's returning. He's coming back again. What was it that the disciples did? The believers, they went and sold all that they had. And they provided all things common. And they were together in one accord and agreement with one purpose and a singleness of heart. We're here. We're waiting. What's next? We don't know, but we have a promise. The Lord's coming back one day. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared for it. Oh, the Lord had so much more for him. He had something for them to wait for, all right? But that waiting involved so much more than just sitting in a house somewhere. It involves so much more than just sitting down and being idle and just waiting for the time that the Lord comes back. We've heard in recent years of false prophets that have arisen in our nation that have come and said, on this certain day, the Lord will return, in complete contradiction to the Word of God. We know when it'll be. It'll be on the 21st of this month. People that have been caught up with that and believed it, they've gone and sold everything they've had, and they've gone and they've sat and waited in their house. And the 21st comes and the 21st goes and their faith is shattered, many of them. How could I believe this and it not happen? You know, there is a waiting for the Lord. There is a patience that the Scripture here talks about that the Lord wants from every one of us, to have patient expectation in waiting for the Lord. Oh, but the Lord, in His waiting, in their waiting, says, I've got something for you to do. You wait until you be endued with power from on high. Until that day of Pentecost come, and then I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you to go out and do my work until that time. And oh, He'll go with you always until the end. Until that time that you be called home. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I want to remind us of a scripture. I believe in 2 Peter 3. It says, in the last days, there will be scoffers that rise up, scoffing and saying, ever since our fathers fell asleep, we've heard of this promise. We've heard that the Lord is going to return, and we haven't seen it come to pass. Oh, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they were saying this very thing. The disciples perhaps expected it. And here we are, almost 2,000 years later, hasn't come to pass. What we heard of this morning, the fear of God being lifted from people's hearts, from the belief in who He is, from minimizing who He is and exalting who they are. We don't have to make preparation for it. We've heard these kinds of fairy tale. It's not founded in reality. It's not based on science, so you can't believe it. You know, we know better. I believe every one of us knows better. I believe we that are here have heard and believed and know the day is coming. But what I want us to be stirred up and reminded about this afternoon, do you know the influences of the world can begin to influence me? I may not adopt the same thinking or mindset, but if I'm not careful, it can lull me into a sense of complacency. Into a sense, a little bit of being numb. So I want to ask us, when's the last time you thought about the judgment day? When's the last time that I stopped and thought? In a moment like that, it could be over in just a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. This could have been the moment. But you know, in the busyness of life, we can get calloused to the reality of it. And I know it's coming in my mind, but Lord, help us. That we not begin to get numbed by the unbelief of the world. Lord, help me to keep a faith in You. A patient waiting. I believe it's what James is talking about. Establish your hearts. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. The husbandman, the farmer, he goes out and he plants. And he has an expectation. But he also patiently waits for it. Lord, help us to patiently wait. To be patient is to be of a long spirit, not to lose heart. To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. No matter what happens, no matter how weary we may get. Lord, I'm so tired of the evil around us. Sometimes, Lord, I just want to go home. Yes, I enjoy salvation. I enjoy my family and all that You've given. But Lord, this whole world's getting so dark. This whole world's getting so evil. Establish your hearts. Be patient. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Until that day come. The Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord knows the timing of how to bring it all to pass in His time. So our instruction, our challenge is be patient under the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts. Goes on and talks about the prophets. Use them as an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Oh, blessed is he that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he'll receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If you don't faint, in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. Lord, help us not to faint, not to get weary in well-doing. Lord, help me to be patient, to establish my heart, to be constant, to be steadfast, not shaken or moving away. I've got a faith and a hope that anchors my soul through this world. Be patient under the coming of the Lord. You've seen the end of the Lord. You've seen the end of Job. Job couldn't see it, but by faith he held on for it. And you've seen the reward of patience. So be ye also patient. Be patient unto this great reward that the Lord has for us. Yes, it's a characteristic that we must have throughout our lives, in our trials, in our afflictions. It's something that I say, Lord, help me in every trial to learn to a greater extent to have patience, patient waiting for the Lord. We are in a waiting period. Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Remind us of a familiar story. Exodus 32. Moses went up into the mount. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. How long was this? We're not talking about years here. We're not talking about years and years. And in a space of, what was it, a few days or a few weeks, we haven't seen him. Where is he? We've been waiting for him and waiting for him. And it seems like such a long period of time. They weren't very patient in their waiting. They weren't very constant. They weren't very enduring. So quickly their hearts were moved away. If that can happen to them in such a short period of time, can it not happen to us when over thousands of years, we as the people of God have been looking for and waiting for this great hope that we have? Oh, to the point that Jesus says, when I do return, when the time does finally come, when the Father says it is enough, when the Father says now is the time, go and gather home your bride, will I still find faith? Will there still be those that are looking for me? Will there still be those saints? It's a question for us as a congregation of the Church of God. Will He still find us looking for Him, watching for Him, expecting Him? The children of Israel didn't wait very long before their hearts began going away. And how many people can we see in our lifetimes? Maybe started out for the Lord and over the course of time. You know, the enemy just needs a little time and a little yielding, a little carelessness and a little time to be able to get in there and work. And over the course of time, so many people have fallen away from their steadfastness. Lord, help us that we be steadfast unto the end. Unlike the children of Israel, we are in today the betrothal period. We're in the period under Jewish custom where a man would go and betroth himself unto the bride. That it was a covenant that was made more binding than our engagement period. And it was an agreement to enter into this union of marriage. But it wasn't the fulfillment of it. It was a period of time where now I promised myself. I want us to think from the standpoint of the bride, of the one that is to be married. The man has come and espoused himself to me. And I've given my promise to him. I'm yours. I'll keep myself for you. And then the man goes back. And he goes to prepare a place for his bride. That sound familiar? I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. And where I go, you can come also. I'll return and bring you unto myself. But no man knows the day or the hour. So your challenge and your charge is wait and keep yourself unspotted from this world. Oh, what a sad thing it would be for a young woman giving herself in agreement of betrothal to get to a point and say, I've waited and waited and waited. I don't know if he'll ever come back. So I might as well go ahead and marry this other man over here. Lord, help us so we not begin to doubt. That we not begin to lose our steadfast hope. We have promised ourselves unto one that we are to be married unto. When the world comes asking for our hand, I say, no, I'm already betrothed. I'm already given. I'm already promised to one that died for me. And I'm waiting. I'm keeping myself as a chaste virgin. Paul spoke about it to the Corinthians, I believe. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you unto one husband. I have betrothed you or espoused you unto one husband. But I fear, he said, lest Satan by his subtlety, as he did with Eve, he might also be able to work with you and cause you to fall from your steadfastness. Oh Lord, help us so we patiently wait. I want to look at another verse here in 2 Thessalonians. The third chapter. Third verse. For the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You look into the Greek, this actually is worded as the patience of Christ. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patience of Christ. The patience that He had, where He endured the contradiction of men and the sufferings that he went through for the joy that was set before him. He endured it. So you know what the counsel is for us? Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your light's burning. In the Jewish custom of dress with the long robes that they wore, you can read where Elijah would ask his servant Gehazi to run and do something. And it would say that he girded up his clothes so that he could run, so that he would be prepared to be able to go and run. It was a preparation for action. It wasn't just a sitting back. We asked the question then, what are we to do in this patient waiting for Christ? Should we just gather here in the chapel and we just stay here and everybody just, we're just going to wait it out. We're just going to wait out the clock, so to speak, until the Lord returns. You know, the Lord wants our loins to be girded about. He wants us to gird up the loins of our minds, to be prepared. The instruction was given to the Israelites when they were to leave Egypt, that they should have their shoes on their feet and their loins girded about, that they be clothed and prepared for whenever the time comes, you go out. It's not a time to be awakened in a state of surprise. And I'd remind us, won't go to it for the sake of time, but the five wise and the five foolish, all be prepared in the slumbering times of life, in the times that we I'm just not thinking about it so much. You know, chances are when the Lord returns, if it's in our lifetime, chances are at that moment, I probably won't be thinking about it. Just by the percentage of the time of the day that I think, chances are I won't be. Lord, help me though to be ready, to have made all the preparations so that I can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. I welcome that. And let your loins be girt about, and let your lights be burning. Oh, that was a responsibility of the Levites. Keep the lamp burning by day and by night. Never let it go out. Replenish the oil every day in your lamps. That's what went wrong with the foolish virgins, was it? Wasn't it? They let the oil run out of their lamps. They still had the form, but the light was gone. Oh, keep the oil filled and the lamps burning. And yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Not to say, hold on, give me a minute. Just a second, I'll be right there. But that they're waiting at the door, ready and expecting that knock. And they open immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Oh, how blessed it's going to be to have the Lord Himself serve us. It says that the Lord would gird Himself and serve them. Oh, I want to be in that place. Ready, watching, expecting, loins girded about and lights burning, ready for that day. Do you remember what He told in the parable of the talents? Pounds, I believe, in Luke, where it uses this wording. He left that with them. And He said, occupy till I come. He didn't say, go bury your talent. He didn't say, go hide it. Go lay down and sleep somewhere in a safe, protected place. And just wait it out till I get back. Occupy. Be busy. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Not just sitting back in inactivity. If ever there is a time that we need to be up and doing about the Master's service, it is now. As the days are drawing close, Lord, help us to feel the urgency of the hour that we're living in. Lord, what can I do? Is there anything that I can do? Help me first to live prepared and ready my own self, to keep the lamp burning in my own heart. Lord, is there not someone that I might be able to awaken out of their sleep? And say, awake, thou that sleepest, arise, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, Lord, help us that we not get into a place that we get so comfortable in what I know and understand, and thank the Lord for the truth. Thank the Lord for it, but I don't want to get so comfortable in it that I think I've got it now. I've got it made now. All I have to do is just sit back and wait. Oh, there's perhaps even more danger in doing that. The Lord help us to be up and doing about the Master's service, always prepared, ready, patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.